Blog Talk Radio.
That ever since I woke up this morning, I was saying to myself, I work like Monday, why am I going to work Tuesday?
I feel it in my, like, my throat chakra a lot, like, whenever it's, like, going to be a bad day. Like, I feel like, you know, how sometimes, like, when you make a lot of money, it's, like, you can talk to the customers really easily because, like, you're, like, throat chakra is open and you can express yourself, but then, like, you know it's going to be a bad day when the first customer that you talk to, like, you're talking to him and you're, like, struggling to find words. Because it's, like, the energy is all fucked up in there. Like, it's blocking all of your chakras.
I knew it ever since this morning. I was saying to myself, my family was asking me, well, just stay home. I'm like, no, I have to work. Because they keep giving me this, if you don't work, you're going to get fined. If you get fined, we're going to take you off the schedule. I'm like, okay, well, I'm never really on your schedule.
Right.
I finally got my very first paycheck yesterday. I've been here 2.5 years.
You know what it is? It's like
it's $26 paycheck. You're really not doing me any favors for me being here, providing for you all the things you need in order for your business to run.
It's this fear-based mind control. Like, it's this very, like, psychic kind of, I don't know, I guess, like, trap that they put you in. Because they assume that a lot of the girls that work there aren't very educated.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't. Like, I don't want to be, like, you know, I don't want to be stereotyping the girls that I work with, but some of them aren't, you know, really that educated.
Not that bright of a bulb, I get it.
Well, it's not their fault, you know. It's like if you grow up and you're poor and that's why you're dancing, like, obviously you're not going to get the best education and, like, you're there because that's kind of, you know, what else are you going to do? You need to make money yesterday.
Exactly. And like I was saying earlier, you're trying to use it as a stepping stone. So they're trying to trap you in your stepping stone so you can literally walk off the cliff to nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's like...
If that club cared about us, they would do things like advertise. Tell other people to come.
I mean, that's the kind of thing, though, where that's the club and you can't really expect somebody who's been doing something the same way for so many years to just miraculously do something different.
But they used to advertise.
They used to, but they're not anymore. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like you can't control other people. You can only control yourself. So when you're put in a situation where, you know, you're going through the same thing over and over and over and over again, it's like you're just doing it to yourself at that point. You know, fool me once, shame on you.
They do have to realize that there's a reputation that has consistently followed them, and it's not the greatest at this moment. It does not no longer exist as the world's best, the best girls, best club anymore. People go there and they clearly see a huge downfall of this club's progress, and over the years, the only thing that's really changed is every man ends up going to college or graduating college and still living a lifestyle of a normal man where there's a whole new batch of guys that come to the strip club. And if they're coming to the strip club and they have this mindset of the club being this regular Joe bar, then they're going to treat it like that, hang out there, not spend any money, and watch pretty much the girls waste their time.
Yeah.
Because they've already taken advantage of what the purpose of them even being there, which was to actually spend money, enjoy the company, and be entertained by a dancer. There is a very low, I admit, a very low entertainment value in strip clubs, and the further south you go, you will see that the entertainment value does change. However, there's still that mindset, like you said earlier, of a girl who is poor, mentally coming from a world that never seen any of this type of money, now making any kind of money, and literally will do anything for it. So it's like trying to keep up a certain high. Once you get that high, it's kind of hard to get that high again.
Right.
And you're always constantly looking for that next big break where you're making that big day, that big bank.
And that's what makes it so difficult to leave the industry as well, because it's like, what other job do you have the opportunity to make, you know, $2,200 in one day? You're never going to make that waitressing, but that could happen to you dancing. You could find a customer who comes in, you know, some guy just hit the lotto and he comes in and he finds a girl that he really likes sees her every day for 2 months. You know, stuff like that has happened. And mm-hmm. it just, like, there's no allure with regular jobs because it's like, oh, I can find a job bartending, but, you know, it's not that exciting.
But then you can't even blame dancers because then there's a lot of women with that mindset of looking for even that in a husband, looking for some guy to save them or somebody to change their stability situation and put them in a situation where they feel they could, you know, progress and move further. So we are instinctually looking for a way to survive because we're women, but we're doing it in a whole nother way that became acceptable by society because society has this control over what women do with their bodies.
Right.
So now we have control over our bodies. Society doesn't look at it that way. And we're all these, you know, these whores and hookers and minds. And mentally, we're kind of like looking at ourselves like that too. Because now we're being compared to men like we're drug dealers.
I feel like I struggle with that a lot. I mean, America is a very, like, you know, especially in New England, where we come from a very puritanical society, you know. Uh-huh. Like, my parents were Christian. And I know a lot of my friends were, and I know a lot of dancers who still identify as Christian. And so it's hard to kind of reconcile that ideology with dancing because it's like on one hand, you know you're not doing anything morally wrong. But on the other, it's like, well, you know, how would Jesus feel about strippers? And this is kind of like, you know, this cognitive dissonance that is real for a lot of people. And, you know, girls struggle a lot with that. That's why so many girls become, you know, drug addicts and alcoholics because they don't feel good about what they're doing, but they don't know what else to do.
Yeah. And I kind of blame that there's a lot of the Bible that's missing out on the stories of Jesus from the age of 12 to 33. Who's to say he came back with three other women? Who's to say what Jesus was doing within those years and how his relationship was with women and how we interpret that, because it's mostly how the Catholic Church came in to start re-identifying what Christian ideology should be, that we started to break down all these natural sexual urges that were already considered to be pagan lifestyle living anyway.
Right.
So, oh, you have to be married, and this marriage comes with this agreement, and this agreement is this law to buy women, and buying women is like buying cattle. You know, it's you're just making an arrangement. Same way with buying slaves, if that's the case. That's why I'm really kind of iffy when it comes to the idea of marriage, because it's, in my mind, legalized slavery
right.
in a lot of fashion
right.
to have a hold on my financial growth. So why do I need to have a man that's a millionaire or a man that's broke financially dictate my life?
Right.
So that's where it becomes this threat to society, because now women know what to do with their bodies and their money. Oh no, we gotta demoralize them even more. We don't know what Jesus was doing in those years. But any young man who's lived his life without his parents already thinking that he's king of the freaking human race, I'm sure you probably looking at women like, uh-huh, I can have all of you and I'm gonna take all of you because my father told me you're all mine anyway. Or whatever. Nonetheless, it's not really up to us to interpret that anyway. It's up to us to realize as a human, we're taking away a huge element what makes us human, which is our sexuality. And so if we define that by religion rather than spirituality, then we wouldn't have any children. We wouldn't have any families. Literally everybody would pretty much be just fucking and gay and whatever.
Right. Right, that's true. I mean, there are natural sexual urges that everybody has at very young ages, and
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's why a lot of people are so uncomfortable with a lot of Freud's theories, like the psychosexual theories, because people are so uncomfortable with the fact that, yeah, there is a fixation on genitals at a certain age, and there is an anal fixation at a certain age, and people just, they don't like to realize that because they're like, oh, that's wrong. No, I've never touched my private parts ever in my life. God would look down on that, you know, and you can't ever come to a place where you can fully love yourself if there's a part of you that you are resisting so strongly. Mm-hmm. You can't resist your sexual self if you ever want to be whole. You mm-hmm. have to look at the parts of you.
On that note, you guys, you are definitely listening to Stripper Talk. This is Rated R Version. The title of this show, It's Not the Job, It's You, has a part two, and it is coming soon. Please continue to listen in. Feel free to donate to the station or give us a call at 347-857-3374. We'd love to have you, and we always want to hear from you. So on that note, we're going to give you the last 13 minutes of Stripper Talk on Heels, Skills, and Thrills Radio.
That ever since I woke up this morning, I was saying to myself,
oh, yeah,
I work
like
Monday. Why am I going to work Tuesday?
I feel it in my throat chakra a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever it's like going to be a bad day. Like I feel like, you know, how sometimes like when you make a lot of money, it's like you can talk to the customers
mm-hmm.
really easily because like you're like... throat chakra is open and you can express yourself, but then
mm-hmm.
like you know it's gonna be a bad day when the first customer that you talk to, like you're talking to him and you're like struggling to find words
mm-hmm.
because it's like the energy is all fucked up in there, like it's blocking all of your chakras.
I knew it ever since this morning. I was saying to myself, my family was asking me, well, just stay home. I'm like, no, I have to work. Because they keep giving me this, if you don't work, you're going to get fined. If you get fined, we're going to take you off the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm never really on your schedule.
Right.
I finally got my very first paycheck yesterday. I've been here 2.5 years.
You know what it is? It's like
a $26 paycheck. You're really not doing me any favors for me being here, providing for you all the things you need in order for your business to run.
It's this fear-based mind control. Like, it's this very, like, psychic kind of, I don't know, I guess, like, trap that they put you in. Because they assume that a lot of the girls that work there aren't very educated.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't. Like, I don't want to be, like... you know, I don't want to be stereotyping the girls that I work with, but some of them aren't, you know, really that educated.
Not that bright of a bulb, I get it.
Well, it's not their fault, you know. It's like if you grow up and you're poor and that's why you're dancing, like obviously you're not going to get the best education and like you're there because that's kind of, you know, what else are you going to do? You need to make money yesterday.
Exactly. And like I was saying earlier, you're trying to use it as a stepping stone. So they're trying to trap you in your stepping stone so you can literally walk off the cliff to nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's like...
if that club cared about us, they would do things like advertise. Tell other people to come.
I mean, that's the kind of thing, though, where that's the club and you can't really expect... somebody who's been doing something the same way for so many years to just miraculously do something different.
But they used to advertise.
They used to, but they're not anymore. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like you can't control other people. You can only control yourself. So when you're put in a situation where, you know, you're going through the same thing over and over and over and over again, it's like you're just doing it to yourself at that point. You know, fool me once, shame on you.
They do have to realize that there's a reputation that has consistently followed them, and it's not the greatest at this moment. It does not no longer exist as the world's best, the best girls, best club anymore. People go there and they clearly see a huge downfall of this club's progress, and over the years, the only thing that's really changed is every man ends up going to college or graduating college and still living a lifestyle of a normal man where there's a whole new batch of guys that come to the strip club. And if they're coming to the strip club and they have this mindset of the club being this regular Joe bar, then they're going to treat it like that, hang out there, not spend any money, and watch pretty much the girls waste their time.
Yeah.
Because they've already taken advantage of what the purpose of them even being there, which was to actually spend money, enjoy the company, and be entertained by a dancer. There is a very low, I admit, a very low entertainment value in strip clubs, and the further south you go, you will see that the entertainment value does change. However, there's still that mindset, like you said earlier, of a girl who is poor, mentally coming from a world that never seen any of this type of money, now making any kind of money, and literally will do anything for it. So it's like trying to keep up a certain high. Once you get that high, it's kind of hard to get that high again.
Right.
And you're always constantly looking for that next big break where you're making that big day, that big bank.
And that's what makes it so difficult to leave the industry as well, because it's like, what other jobs do you have the opportunity to make, you know, $2,200 in one day? You're never going to make that waitressing, but that could happen to you dancing. You could find a customer who comes in, you know, some guy just hit the lotto and he comes in and he finds a girl that he really likes, sees her every day for 2 months. You know, stuff like that has happened. And mm-hmm. it just, like, there's no allure with regular jobs because it's like, oh, I can find a job bartending, but, you know, it's not that exciting.
But then you can't even blame dancers, because then there's a lot of women with that mindset of looking for even that in a husband, looking for some guy to save them or somebody to change their stability situation and put them in a situation where they feel they could, you know, progress and move further. So we are instinctually looking for a way to survive because we're women, but we're doing it in a whole nother way that became acceptable by society, because society has this control over what women do with their bodies.
Right.
So now we have control over our bodies. Society doesn't look at it that way. And we're all these, you know, these whores and hookers and minds. And mentally, we're kind of like looking at ourselves like that too, because now we're being compared to men like we're drug dealers.
I feel like I struggle with that a lot. I mean, America is a very, like, you know, especially in New England, where we come from a very puritanical society, you know. Uh-huh. Like, my parents were Christian. And I know a lot of my friends were, and I know a lot of dancers who still identify as Christian. And so it's hard to kind of reconcile that ideology with dancing, because it's like, on one hand, you know you're not doing anything morally wrong, but on the other, it's like, well, you know, how would Jesus feel about strippers? And this is kind of like, you know, this cognitive dissonance that is real for a lot of people, and, you know, girls struggle a lot with that. That's why so many girls become, you know, drug addicts and alcoholics, because they don't feel good about what they're doing, but they don't know what else to do.
Yeah. And I kind of blame that there's a lot of the Bible that's missing out on the stories of Jesus from the age of 12 to 33. Who's to say he came back with three other women? Who's to say what Jesus was doing within those years and how his relationship was with women and how we interpret that? Because it's mostly how the Catholic Church came in to start re-identifying what Christian ideology should be, that we started to break down all these natural sexual urges that were already considered to be pagan lifestyle living anyway.
Right.
So, oh, you have to be married, and this marriage comes with this agreement, and this agreement is this law to buy women, and buying women is like buying cattle. You know, it's, you're just making an arrangement. The same way with buying slaves, if that's the case. That's why I'm really kind of iffy when it comes to the idea of marriage, because it's, in my mind, legalized slavery
right.
in a lot of fashion
right.
to have a hold on my financial growth. So why do I need to have a man that's a millionaire or a man that's broke financially dictate my life?
Right.
So that's where it becomes this threat to society, because now women know what to do with their bodies and their money. Oh no, we got to demoralize them even more. We don't know what Jesus was doing in those years, but any young man who's lived his life without his parents already thinking that he's king of the freaking human race, I'm sure you probably looking at women like, uh-huh, I could have all of you, and I'm going to take all of you, because my father told me you're all mine anyway, or whatever. Nonetheless, who is up? I mean, it's not really up to us to interpret that anyway. It's up to us to realize, as a human, we're taking away a huge element what makes us human, which is our sexuality. And so if we define that by religion rather than spirituality, then we wouldn't have any children. We wouldn't have any families. Literally, everybody would pretty much be just fucking and gay and whatever.
Right, that's true. I mean, there are natural sexual urges that everybody has at very young ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's why a lot of people are so uncomfortable with a lot of Freud's theories, like the psychosexual theories, because people are so uncomfortable with the fact that, yeah, there is a fixation on genitals at a certain age, and there is an anal fixation at a certain age, and people just, they don't like to realize that, because they're like, oh, that's wrong. No, I've never touched my private parts ever in my life. God would look down on that, you know. And you can't ever come to a place where you can fully love yourself if there's a part of you that you are resisting so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't resist your sexual self if you ever want to be whole. You have to look at the parts of you that society has deemed as wrong and be like, well, is it wrong? You know, if I were looking at this earth from a perspective of somebody who has never seen humans, what would I think about, you know, human development and sexuality and stuff like that? Like, I don't think that, I don't think that's a healthy way to look at sexuality, like it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And it's unfortunate, too, because we've had these conversations about the lapse of time it takes for a woman to develop sexually versus a male. So there we are once again back into this peculiar situation of being women, but being sexual items or sexual objects. And we've had this ever since, I guess, literally in the mind of a male, if you wanted to break them down to a spectrum for literally every man and every sexual category, then if that's the case, then women have been sexual since birth.
And I think that's why a lot of men at strip clubs tend to fetishize very young dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I experienced that myself. I started dancing when I was around 18, and I have not made that much money in a really long time. And I remember, like, I didn't really try that hard to make money. I was just very, very young, and guys liked that, and I, you know, didn't really think it was, like, creepy or anything until way later when, you know, there was some weird instances that happened. But I think that in a weird way, like, men crave that, like, young sexuality, because it's almost like a more, like, organic kind of sexual freedom. It's like when you're young and you're very, like, in touch with your sexuality, like, that's such a turn on, versus somebody who's, like, older and kind of has, like, this resigned, like, well, this is the best it's gonna get, so take it or leave it. I think that's why men tend to fetishize younger girls a lot more.
I think it's mostly too because of their development at such a later stage in life that they can't mentally keep up with the woman of their own age at that stage, because sexually she's already surpassed them, so mentally she must have as well. And it's a lot easier for a man to talk to a woman half his age if he feels like he's just now breaking into his sexual prowess, when she's already showcasing that she's already been very well aware of her. Maybe even said she had her period, and it's not necessarily about her being young, but about her already understanding her womanhood at such an age where most older women have started to deny that.
Yeah.